With the widest selection around, Amazon.com has the perfect gift for anyone. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with another Survivor Exit interview. And today we're going to be speaking with Joseph Del Campo, who was evacuated from the game last night. And looked like he was going through a very painful experience out there on the island. And we will see how he is doing with his recuperation and what his thoughts were as he ended up leaving the game at the final five, setting up the final four finale episode coming up this Wednesday night. Of course, Stephen Fishback and I got into everything on the Survivor Know-It-Alls last night. And then today we've got some really great podcasts coming your way. We have the winner of Survivor Cambodia, Stephen Fishback's great friend, and I'd like to think my great friend too, Jeremy Collins, is going to be joining us on the podcast. Excited about that. And then it should be a real treat, and not hopefully the kind of treat like on a reward that really just binds you up after, but the kind of enjoyable treat that lasts, the enjoyment lasts for many days to come, unlike all of that meat. The great Bryce Isaiah is going to be joining us to answer all of your voicemails, and that's going to be a little earlier in the day, so don't wait around to get your voicemails in. Send those in, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Make sure you don't miss any of those podcasts when you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robasawebsite.com/iTunes, and we always appreciate your feedback and your star ratings, especially as we get towards the end of the season. You want to give us a star rating for the whole season. Do appreciate that. robasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, looks like we got Joe on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'll tell you, Rob, now I've recovered from my gastrological thing, but the bumps and bruises I've gotten from you this season, oh my goodness.
Joe, well, let me just say that great job out there. Look, I know it's always harder than it looks, and I really do. I commend you.
I know you know. Yeah, well, you did it, so you do know. So anyway, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, and we have a mutual friend in Rudy, and so that any friend of Rudy is a friend of mine.
Well, thank you. He's a wonderful guy. He's 88, Rudy, and hope to see him again. We usually see each other in November when the Navy SEAL Museum has their annual muster, and we meet there, and he's doing good. He's slowing down, not quite as fast as he was like me, but he's 88 now. I'm trying to catch up. Well, I don't want to catch up. That means if I catch up, the Rudy's with the Lord.
Oh, no.
He's still doing good, thanks.
And did you keep up with him during the season at all, or you only see him like once a year?
Well, also, we have a cabin in North Carolina. He's got a couple of his former Navy SEAL buddies, so we'll probably see each other this summer up there.
Okay.
So about twice a year. Yeah, he's up in Virginia Beach. You know, he doesn't live locally. And we got to see each other a couple months ago. He came down, took those pictures and posted them.
So I saw you on the Ponderosa video, Joe, and it looks like that you were totally feeling better. How long did it take to go from where we saw you last night to when you end up sort of like back to normal at the Ponderosa?
Well, for the next 3 days, you have to understand my gastronomical thing was pretty severe. And when I was able to be relieved, it caused some internal physical things going on.
Mm-hmm.
So about 3 days after that, I was quite miserable. So even if I had been able to, on the island, on the beach, you know, resolve that, I don't know if, certainly not during the challenges, would I've been able to do anything. It was quite painful. So by about day four-ish, I was good. Where I could not sit on a cushion, a little rubber cushion, you know, it'd be comfortable.
Now, Joe, a lot of times during the season, we didn't quite always get to hear your perspective on what was going on and what your strategy was in terms of the end game. So talk us through a little bit of where you were hoping to go from that point in the final five. Obviously, you and Aubrey were tight, but what was your plan to getting down to four and three?
Well, if you actually saw the, I don't know if you had a chance to see that, Matt, the reward, there was talk about it was going to be Sid, Aubrey, and me. But as you know, Rob, things can change in a blink of an eye. So you get back to the beach, you think you're going one way, you go another way because things are said. So it was still up in the air. As far as I was concerned, it was still up in the air. We had to see how other people played into it. But certainly it was going to be, I had hoped, you know, Aubrey and me from day one. We made that pact when we were on Brains. Also, that I would stay kind of out of the limelight because usually the old guy gets a target on his back, and Aubrey being the player, you know, she is and was, we didn't want that to happen. So you didn't see a lot of screen time with me because I was not involved in the negotiations. We kind of agreed upon that. I look at it as a team effort. I'm sure the super fans say, well, you know, you really weren't doing a whole lot of strategizing. All well, we were, but kind of quietly. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is, Rob. You know, you're depicted and edited the way they see it, and that was fine. I'm good with it.
So we saw Aubrey talking about, you know, actually, I think Sydney might be the bigger threat, but it seemed like when you guys were on the reward that you guys are talking about taking Sydney to the end. Did you and Aubrey have that conversation about, hey, I think we got to get rid of Sydney now and take Ty to the end?
No, the joyousness of going on the reward, we sat down and, of course, there we are. We're feeding ourselves and having a good time. And I think, you know, I brought it up, or I forget exactly how it came to be, but that time that was said. Now, again, going back, Rob, once you get back to the beach and you get with other people, there were two people left, Michelle and Ty. Whether or not there would have been a change of plans, I can't really guess. At that particular time, I thought that's the way we were going to go. Unfortunately, Mother Nature stepped in and, you know, did a whammy on me, so it didn't happen.
Yeah. Now, talk to me about going to the end with Aubrey. Did you feel like that you had a shot to be able to beat Aubrey, or did you feel like that she had become such a close friend that if the end result was that she was going to win the season and you were going to be there next to her, you were fine with that outcome, that you were just in it more for the experience?
Well, kind of both, Rob. You know, first of all, what would I be able to argue as far as I did this strategy, I did that strategy? Hey, I won the reward. Oh, that's okay, Joe. What else did you do? Mm-hmm. So I knew, I mean, it would be like pleading to the Romans here. You're in there, please, you know, save me. Don't save her. Well, I didn't have a lot of a platform to go on. So I just pretty much would have been the elder statesman. I played the game being back in the shadows. And if you thought that was admirable, we did it as a team. But I have an incredible competitor here in Aubrey, because at that point, you're in competition with that person. And so be it, however the chips fall. So what I thought that I could win, probably an outside bet, but I was not the contender. I was not the odds-on horse. So it didn't happen.
So let's go back to a couple of the previous votes. In last week's show, we had Ty had this plan where he wanted to vote against Michelle, and you guys all ended up voting for Jason. But if Aubrey had come to you and said, Joe, I think we should go with this plan, let's go with the Ty plan and take out Michelle, would you have been open to that, or did you want to vote Jason out no matter what at that last vote?
No. Well, you can imagine now, you know, I was stewing about Jason, and what was not seen, and I think they attributed to Aubrey, was Ty started taking a walk down the beach. Michelle and Sydney were collecting shells, clams, over on the rocks about 150 yards away. And I was there talking with Aubrey, and, you know, we knew how strong he felt about the Michelle issue. And I said, let's do Jason. Let's do Jason. That's I'm going to go and run over and tell the girls, let's do Jason. And she said, great, great. Ran over. They were there. Their camera people were there. I said, we're going to do Jason. We're going to do Jason. All four of us tonight. Jason ran back. And that's why we had left him out of the vote, because we were too afraid that, you know, he would go tell Jason this is what they wanted to do. So we left Ty out of the vote. But kind of, you know, I was in that. Now, the reason I'm sure they didn't show that, Rob, was that would have given away the whole council. Mm. So they couldn't put that, they couldn't air that piece. So I understood that. But it more or less came back that, like, you know, Aubrey was Aubrey's deal. Well, it was a joint effort. Again, yeah. Joint effort.
Could you talk a little bit about what your relationship was like with Jason and Scott following the sabotage from the camp? It looked to me from the TV show that you really, you know, never could forgive those guys for what they did to the camp, that you were the fire maker, they're putting out the fire. And it seemed like that just never flew with you, that idea of we're going to sabotage what we're trying to do out here.
Well, Rob, as you know, there's all those hours of filming and what, 42 minutes make it on to the night of the show.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of stuff that was not shown, words going back and forth and insults and things that happened from them toward me and vice versa that caused just, you know, very, very upset and angry. So I carried that through the game and I wanted to get rid of Jason at the end there. The person that caused me the most upset, anger, or whatever. But it was just the game. And if you've seen Ponderosa yet, you can understand what, once the game was over, he and I were buddies. He's a veteran. I'm a veteran. And it was about the game.
Yeah.
And once outside the game, we come back to real life. So the game was over for me. And what's the next thing?
Well, that totally did come through in that Ponderosa video. If people haven't seen that, that you guys look like you do have a good conversation there at the Ponderosa. But going back to his vote last week, that he votes for you in a scenario, he could really vote for anybody, but he felt like that you and him really just never were able to see eye to eye in the game.
Well, you could hear his comment. I think if I recall correctly, he said he doesn't deserve to be here, meaning me. I mean, that's the kind of animosity we kind of had toward each other. And that was verbalized, and, you know, he made it known. That's the reason. It was kind of a PO'd vote. You know, he was PO'd at me. And but once we walked into the Ponderosa threshold, that was all behind us. That's it. It was a game. A lot of money at stake, but it was a game.
I want to talk about another one of these votes from earlier in the season. I want to go back to the Debbie vote. And at that Debbie vote, we have a scene where Aubrey comes to you and says, hey, we want to vote off Debbie tonight. What do you think about that? And you say, I don't like that idea. I don't want to vote off Debbie. And then you and Debbie vote for Scott at that vote. Did you think that you had talked Aubrey out of that idea? Or did you know that Aubrey and Sydney were still going through with that plan and you were just against what they wanted to do and voted for Scott?
Rob, I think at that time, I was so fixated on the boat. And the reason is, and part of the anger that those guys had to me was there was an earlier boat where it was the Nick boat where they wanted me to do the Debbie against one of my own people. And I said, yeah, that's no problem. I'll do that. But I didn't because I wasn't going to betray one of my people. That started the whole thing of the anger, I think, with the guys. And, you know, we never got away from that. As far as that, Debbie was kind of acting a little strange that day, and I knew that she was causing some ruckus with the girls, and they kind of, you know, banded together, which I finally saw on TV. I did not see that there on the beach because I was doing other things. But so there was all that chit-chat going upline. I was not privy to it. I was doing the vote. I thought, I hoped that it would go that way. It did not. I understood why they did it, though. So it wasn't like I was all upset and say, why'd you do that? I kind of understood it because of Debbie's behavior that day and kind of upsetting them and thinking she was kind of a loose cannon. But I did not vote for her.
Did you have any trust issues with Aubrey? I know that she was your tightest ally in the game, but really on those two occasions, that Debbie vote and then also on the Peter vote, she went off and did what she wanted to do at one of these votes. Did you ever consider that as that was a problem in your relationship with her in the game?
Not in the game. The interesting thing is then seeing, you know, on TV about like that time with Ty saying, well, you know, Joe's causing the problem. We got to get rid of him and stuff like that. I didn't realize, of course, we don't, when people are having their private conversations, that was going on. But in the game, no, I trusted her. I believed that we would go to the end together if we were both around. So the little bumps and grinds in between there was part of the process. I thought I didn't want to get all upset about it and question that. So I did trust her implicitly. Yes.
Did you have any idea that when you guys came back from the challenge last week, the reward challenge, and, you know, you were upset about losing and you were trying to get everybody to get all the firewood. Did you have any idea that that was making Sydney so upset?
No, I mean, just, you know, we needed wood and I just, everybody always contributed. And that particular day, maybe I was grumpy and of course they called me a grumpy Joe and, you know, whatever. I was hoping they would call me, you know, the most interesting man in the world, but that never came up there. But anyway, Sydney is a very sharp person who does not want to be told what to do. And apparently she didn't have respect for me saying it that way and spoke and made it known about, hey, you don't talk to me that way. So I had not because we had established a pretty decent relationship, as you saw her referring to me in that deleted scene, like grandfatherly toward her. We really did have that. That was after the vote where she almost went out with the three votes against her, and then her and I after that established a very nice, a fatherly, grandfatherly relationship. So I was kind of surprised when I saw that little clip. But hey, it's the game.
Yeah. You know? Joe, how much did it bother you to be outlasted in the game by your nemesis, Mark the Chicken?
Well, you know, I had respect for, and I do have respect for, but he jumped down one day and his talon poked a hole in the top of my foot, which started to bleed. And all I'm thinking is, that's what I need. The chicken pokes Joe. It gets infected. He's yanked because of the chicken. So I would never have hurt the chicken. I know Julia said, oh, well, Joe will kill the chicken. There's no way I was going to wring that chicken's neck. I just didn't want him to be pooping on our food, you know, and Ty would sleep with him in the hammock at night. And I'd get up in the middle of the night because I didn't sleep very much. And I hear, cluck, 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 cluck. And he's got the chicken in the hammock and he's asleep with the bird. You know, it was more like a son. It wasn't a pet. Ty was more of the son that he doesn't have, I guess. Anyway, I think it's comical that they played it the way CBS has done. I think it's great. It adds a little humor to it, you know, so I think it's great myself.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks so much for coming on with me. You were a great sport the whole way through. And I'm glad it seems like that you had a fun experience out there, and hope to run into you next week with everything going on at the finale.
Absolutely. And sometime in the future, the powers that be think, well, he's not that old. Maybe he'll move faster. I'll go back in a
heartbeat. You'll do it again.
Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
All the best to you. Take care.
Bye. Take care of yourself. Bye. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it, Joe DeCamp. Well, Joe is going to go back and play Survivor again. Just hopefully, Joe, just slow it down at the reward. Slow and steady wins the race. That's been the story of a lot of these challenges this season. Slow and steady won the race for Sydney last week. Slow and steady won the race for Joe at the reward challenge. Just you got to remember that on the rewards themselves. All right. So great job there by Joe. And again, really good sport about everything from the season, and happy to hear that he's had a positive experience on the show. All right, everybody, it's about that time. Time to go back and take a look at what was happening during this very week throughout Survivor history. Here he is. Here is a man who says he would rather watch the Jets go 8-8 this year than go 2-14 and get the number one draft pick. Here he is, the great Jordan Kalish.
I did say that. I know it's not it isn't necessarily the best strategy, but we're going to be talking about some questionable strategies tonight.
So, Jordan, here we are. Now, first off, just talk me through, how's your breakfast routine going? Getting enough fiber?
I am getting enough fiber. I had
very
some cereal, some cereal for breakfast this morning. No beef. No beef at
no
all.
Beef, no beef balls, raisin bran, grape nuts, all that, all good stuff.
I do eat grape nuts. I'm not really a raisin guy, though.
Do you really? I feel like that is the worst cereal. I don't know where it ranked on Akiva's top 31 cereal list, but I feel like that can't be in the top 50.
Well, I don't eat it on its own. I add it to other cereals.
If only there was a dish of grape nuts out at the reward show. I feel like Mark the Chicken would be into the grape nuts.
Oh, yeah. No, it seems like a great chicken food.
All right. So we're here to talk about this week in Survivor history. But first, let's just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this segment, and those are our friends over at the Aero Cart by Works. Works has reinvented lifting and hauling with the new Works Aero Cart, because with the Aero Cart 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works, heavy loads are easy to lift and haul. You would have seen if those survivors had access to an Aero Cart by Works, they would have just loaded up all those bean bags in one trip, lickety split, and got that over. It's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly all in one. It's perfect for anything that you need to carry around.
I don't need to be carried, bro.
Well, if you did, that this would be the perfect thing for you, because even awkward loads stay balanced with two oversized wheels so you never strain your back. And with the patented TurboLift technology, it makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting just 17. I mean, if they needed to, they could have, you know, if the medevac got more serious, you know, the Works Aero Cart would have been even more handy.
Yeah, I know. And also, you know, if you're doing an uphill trek through the woods and you have to bring all these bags of balls with you, you'd love to have a wheelbarrow to help you out.
Yeah, forget it. Heavy bags of topsoil, gravel, even a refrigerator, it's like nothing. You can be a move-it-all, lift-it-all, haul-it-all, know-it-all, just like me with the new Works AeroCart. So go to AeroCart.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout and get free shipping and 10% off. That's AeroCart.com, AeroCart.com, and receive free shipping plus 10% off at checkout. All right, Jordan, where do you want to go in the Survivor time machine?
Okay, so we're going to go all the way back to Survivor Palau. This is an episode from May 12th, 2005, 11 years ago today, actually. Mm-hmm. And this is the final five episode, much like the final five episode of Survivor Korong that we saw last night.
Final five of Survivor Palau. We had, at that point, it was Tom, it was Ian, it was the great Jen Lyon, Katie Gallagher, and who was left?
We had Karen Groydell, who went home in this episode. One of the all-time greats in Survivor history. And she
gets the all-time greats.
Unceremoniously booted. At least she got voted out, and she goes in this episode. But we're not going to really necessarily focus on Karen. What I want to focus on in this episode is a decision that Ian made. Luckily, not his worst decision of Survivor Palau.
He always makes good decisions.
Yeah, he always makes good decisions, except when you get to the final five and beyond. So the decision that I'm talking about, so we actually get to a reward challenge. It is the car reward, which he wins. He actually gets a Corvette, which is a really nice car for Survivor. So he has the car curse working against him. So not only did he win a Corvette, he also got to go to a mansion.
Whoa.
Yeah, a really nice mansion. Got some food, get to shower, get to sleep in a real bed for the first time in a while. Before this challenge, Ian actually made a promise to Katie that he would take her on a reward if he won. But the second he wins this, he's not really thinking and he takes Tom with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a terrible decision because you let the three girls, you let Jen, Katie, and Karen get to hang out at camp and talk crap about you while you're off on the reward. Where do you think, so obviously Ian is better known for a bad decision at the final three, but how bad of a move do you think this actually is? Now, it doesn't end up biting him in the ass because Karen goes home here and not him or Tom. But, you know, when he makes this decision, you see Tom's face just drop. They had a long discussion about not taking each other before the challenge. And, you know, they usually don't go, the show doesn't always go in to detail about showing these conversations of, oh, if I win the challenge, I'm not going to take you, or this is who we should take. But they really have a long scene about it where in retrospect, you know that Ian is probably going to do the wrong thing here. But how bad of a move do you think this is? Is there any way to really reconcile the fact that he does this at the final five?
It's bad, but he doesn't even result in him getting voted out of the game. And, you know, you could argue a case where he would have had a shot to win in the final two. So you really have to look at it through the prism. I mean, especially like when you compare it to something like Pearl Islands, like where Burton ends up making the decision. He wins the reward in the same exact spot at the final five and gets a car and takes Johnny Fairplay and leaves Lil and Sandra and Dara all together. And then because of that, he gets voted out. I think that's got to be number one with a bullet on these decisions. And considering the fact that Ian didn't even get voted out, yeah, he probably made the wrong move in that spot, but they were able, they actually did have things on lock in a way that Burton and Johnny Fairplay did not. And they're able to, neither of them got voted out at that tribal council. So it's not great, but it's not a disaster.
No. And I think it really, you know, it takes a really bad move by the other players, by the other three, not to form a coalition against them here, because it would have been in their best interest to take out, you know, Tom wins immunity, so they can't take out Tom. It would have been in their best interest to take out Ian, who is a big threat to win the game. And, you know, Ian, I think what sort of saves him is that when he comes back, he has this big impassioned conversation with Katie, where Katie starts crying, then he starts crying, and he kind of lies down on the beach. But it ends with them hugging. And I think that's sort of what's able to get Katie back on board. And, you know, Katie ends up going to the final two with Tom. So I guess for her, you know, I still wouldn't say it's the right decision for Katie here, because I think if she's able to go to the final two against like a Karen, she wins the game. I mean, there's no way Karen's winning Survivor.
Jordan, what else going on in this week in Survivor history? Anything else?
Yeah, so I was all prepared to talk about Micronesia here, fans versus favorites, because there was so much talk on the podcast this week. Will Ty pull an Eric Reichenbach? Will he give away his immunity idol and get blindsided? But we didn't even get a tribal council this week. So I actually want to talk about a different terrible moment in Eric Reichenbach history. All right. So this is an episode from Karamo, and this is May 12th, 2013. That is 3 years ago. And this is the episode Last Push. It's actually the very beginning of the finale episode. And before tonight, this is actually the only final five medevac in Survivor history. So very relevant to what is going on tonight with poor Joe Del Campo.
Yes, the final five the dreaded final five medevac.
Yeah, I never thought it would happen. It's so close to the end that it's very unlikely that you would get a medevac in this spot. But this is coming right off of that tribal council where Dawn, you know, Dawn is hurt. She's she's taken out at six by Dawn and Cochran. Eric was one of Dawn's few allies left in the game, and it's sort of weird here where it really seems like you know it sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, he did have that scene earlier. I believe it was the previous episode where doesn't he fall out of a tree at one point?
Yeah, he was up in the tree and he's talking about how, like, at least if I fell out of the tree, then I would get medevaced and I wouldn't have to get voted out. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on there. And, you know, I did question his motivations at the time because, you know, Brenda was his ally. She got blindsided at the final six, but apparently, like, he didn't even know where he was.
Yeah, and I don't think that medical would have just pulled him because he wanted to leave. I mean, they did get medical there. It's an official medevac. It's not a quit according to the letter of the law in Survivor history. But I mean, I think Eric was sort of out of it game-wise at this point. I mean, Eric's never been the greatest player in Survivor history, but I don't think he would have... Yeah, I don't think he would have necessarily quit the game just because he wasn't feeling well. I think he really was struggling at this point. And you know what? It took a 71-year-old who really did a great job in this previous episode, you know, winning that reward challenge. And it's a terrible way to go out. But very, very interesting stuff when you have a medevac this late in the game. And actually, you know, Joe's medevac, you know, I would say is even though this was a final seven in Survivor Panama, it's more like, of course, the great Bruce Canada guy.
Yes. Well, too bad that didn't happen this week. You could have done
That would have been great.
All right. Well, Jordan, great stuff. Remember, a balanced diet, plenty of water. Let's try to stay safe out there.
Yeah. And is this our season finale?
I think this is it because I don't think we have time for the finale show. We're going to have all the exit interviews next week. So, Jordan, we thank you again for all of your hard work this season.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, it's so much fun going back. It's so much fun doing the research. And thank you for having me all season. I think, what is it, season four? I don't know. It started as a blog, so it's the timeline is a little bit off. But this week in Survivor history, timeline is never off. And it's always fun bringing you these old episodes every week.
All right, Jordan. Well, we will talk to you again sometime in the future, not the past, not in history. You can follow Jordan on Twitter. He is at Jordan Kalish. All the best, buddy.
You too.
All right, take care. Bye.
You too.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor history with Jordan Kalish. And what a job again this season on the show. And looking forward to talking with Jordan again in the fall. We have some ideas of some twists for this week in Survivor history coming up for the fall, which I'm excited to talk about once we get there. All right. So that's going to do it for this show here today, our exit interview. I'm going to get ready for a busy Thursday of recording Jeremy Collins. Also going to get to the voicemails with Bryce Isaiah. Don't wait around for those voicemails. Robs@website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Also, I had said on the know-it-alls last night that the RHAP bell shirts are back. If you want to check those out between now and the end of the season, we only do a run every, once a season or so. So you can go and check those out. robhasawebsite.com/bell shirts. And also getting ready for after the season is over, I'm going to be heading to Reno with now Stephen Fishback, Josh Wiggler, Tyson, Boston Rob, Anna Kate. Should be very fun at Jason Somerville's event. If you are a poker player or not, we're going to do RHAP out there and do a live show. So I'm very excited to be in Reno coming up for that at Run It Up Reno. You can find out more information at runitupreno.com.
thebestofthebest.com. All right. Thanks so much for listening to this. It should be a very busy Thursday. Looking forward to reading your comments on robbisatwebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Bye.